Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm going to try to bring up Bob.
Podcast may save your life.
All right, Bob, I think we're live here. Sorry we got on a little bit late. We just had that last-minute disconnection. Are you with us?
Yeah, but hey, Steve, are you sure we're on?
I think so. I hope so, anyway.
I mean, did you hear the Blog Talk feed, and did you put in our PIN number?
I sure did. And so,
all right, I guess we're on.
Let's
hey,
give
folks.
It a try, and hopefully we'll be on at this point. We lost it
right
at the
our website,
minute.
Of course, is?
Daylie.com. Let me check this real quick and make sure we're rolling here.
Yeah, no problem. We'll be adding to our Revolution Broadcasting feed in just a moment. We had them at about 3 past. We have a special guest on tonight's show. What on earth is really happening? Yeah, it looks like you're on there, Steve.
Good, we're rolling.
I'm on the switchboard, and we're up and rolling. A little bit of a bumpy start, but hey, it's Friday night, folks, and we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. You're not going to want to miss this. Now, I just found out that we'll be filling in for Indian and Asia's show on, what is that, America Freedom Radio, Sunday at 7 o'clock East Coast time, so you're not going to want to miss that. And Mark will also be joining me for that show. So this will be sort of a corresponding series of interviews, and I think you're not going to want to miss that. Of course, Steve, you want to give out the other websites and get into maybe that one new story that we were going to talk about, the healthcare, and then we'll jump right into our interview.
Okay, yeah, you guys can also find us many times in many places, and we have a lot of other websites and things that we're working on. Our main website is theylie.com, and of course, the name of the website is truthbetoldradio.ning.com, but theylie.com will get you there much faster. I use it. You don't have to type everything else. But we're also on republicmedia.tv, which is a very good new website. We're working with those folks over there, and we know all of them. They're really good friends of ours, and also very attuned to wanting to help with the whole situation right now. Republicmedia.tv. We have a website called Right to Redress, which you should visit, righttoredress.com, righttoredress, righttoredress.com. And our other website, of course, if you're interested in the video, is AIDSfraudvideo.com. So there's a bunch of them. You can always play this back and go through them again. And in the meantime, we'll get into some stories, very big one. I hate to kind of take away from our guest time today, but we really need to touch on this because the health care bill is set to go down this Sunday around 2 o'clock Eastern, I guess it is. They're going to have a big vote. As many as 6 Democrats, they think, may have shifted over to the vote to push it through. They've got a lot of problems here with this whole thing, and many of the Democrats have been holding out on it because they know it's certain death for them politically in many cases. Betsy Markey, as a matter of fact, our own congresswoman from my area, was one of these last holdouts. Dennis Kucinich caved just last week. And the question is this thing really going to be as bad as a lot of people claim it is, or is it going to be as good as people claim it is? What are the repercussions? What are the downsides? They were talking about the Slaughter, who is this person, I guess it's Barbara Slaughter, I can't remember what her name is, but she's the one who's on the Rules Committee, who's decided to try to pass this deem interaction thing, which means that they weren't going to take a vote. Well, it looks now like some of the Democrats are actually going to pretend like they're not afraid to be listed as supporters of this bill and actually go on record as voting for it because they're going to try to get around a vote. Now, that's a serious problem because in that case, what you have is taxation without representation. I mean, that's probably as close as it comes to people saying that they're going to pass bills without even going on the record to say that they voted for them. were questions about that. The issue is that the Senate bill has been sent to the House, and the House is going to now pass the Senate bill with its changes in it that they've made in the House to send back to the Senate again. And the Senate has to look at some of those changes. The problem that they have, that the House has with all this, is that there were some deals that went into this thing, some bribes, you might say, or let's put it this way, some conditions, if you, whatever you want to call it. And the as it goes back to the Senate again, the Senate could start picking apart the bill again so we could go through another round of this. And this is all in that process of what they call reconciliation. The cost involved here, which is way up to about $1.2 trillion, is apparently going to be slated to come out of things like Medicare and some other entitlements that make a lot of people very unhappy. Some of the changes are not going to take place until 2014. Some of them will change right away with children. There are some benefits to problems that we've had with the insurance companies, but there are also a lot of things that will benefit the insurance companies as well. The insurance companies have been blamed for a lot of the problem, and as Bob and I were talking about last night, not all of the problems related to health care costs are insurance companies. A lot of them are coming from very big pharma companies that are charging huge amounts of money for pharmaceutical drugs, and also biotech and biomed companies who are charging for things like diagnostics, MRIs, testing, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, doctors have raised prices a little bit here and there, too.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Steve, just to get your vitamin D tested and your blood work done with vitamin D, it costs the insurance company, if you have insurance, that is, $500.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
And vitamin D is one of the most crucial vitamins that human beings need to survive, and it affects everything. And 9 out of 10 people, I think they just said, are vitamin D deficient. Come on now.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. So vitamin D, if we get more vitamin D into people, we might not have as many problems, and the $500 testing to tell you that you need more vitamins might actually save us some money. But there are some good articles. A lot of people are saying this may be the beginning of socialism. This may be the end of the United States of America as a what you might call a free market economy. And from this point on, it is now essentially a socialism where we are controlled by our government on every level, personal opinions, personal hygiene, personal care. From this point on, becomes a matter of government intervention into your life. So the very same people who said that, you know, the government should not be involved in a woman's choice about an abortion are now telling you that the government should be involved in everything you do. And, you know, I mean, who knows what extent it will go to. I'm not trying to spread, you know, scenarios of repercussions of all kinds of evil, of Big Brother government protocols and agendas hanging over your head. But there really is almost no limit now to where they can go with this whole thing. There's a very interesting article. I'll read it very quickly, and then we'll get on to our guest. It's anger at Washington reaches full throttle. Millions of Americans urge to drive a stake through the heart of Obamacare. This will go on, by the way, all weekend. And if you think just because it's the weekend you shouldn't contact your congressman or woman to express your point of view, don't think that way. They're going to be answering phones all the way up till Sunday afternoon. And there are going to be people listening. The level of intense anger at Washington is heating up. Several high-profile groups are calling on millions of Americans to slam Congress with phone calls, emails, and faxes demanding the lawmakers vote no on the health care bill. And this is an article by Chelsea Schilling in WorldNet Daily. Reforms pushed by President Obama and other Democrats may be approved without ever actually having a direct vote, but could be deemed to have been passed and then signed into law by Obama. The process is called the Slaughter Strategy, named for Representative Louise Slaughter, that is, Democrat of New York, who chairs the House and Rules Committee. Okay, I don't think they're going to go with the deeming process, but there are some things involved with this that are actually unconstitutional and some real problems. It's too late for us to go into great details on the bill itself. As I understand, there is litigation for funding biometric chips to be placed under the skin, meaning that if you want to have an RFID biometric chip placed in your body where the government can help you understand and keep up with all your medical stuff with this little beep, beep, beep chip under your body, there's even money to help you do that. I mean, a lot of weird things are involved with this whole deal, friends.
Well, we already have those chips in our passports and whatnot.
Yeah, your driver's license, your products are everywhere. Hey, so why not in your body, too? Yeah, okay.
Ready to get to our guests for tonight.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have Monday, I guess we'll probably cover a little bit of the aftermath of this, and we'll just see what shakes out. We probably will not know the ramifications of what's going to happen with this bill until, you know, 3 or 4 years later, but it's all going to be probably a mess by then anyway. So, yeah. What's that? Yeah. We'll find out. We'll give you the report on this 3 years from now when you already know what's happened. And, yeah.
The question was, who is coming on the show Monday?
Oh, we have Doug Riggs on Monday, and he's going to be talking a little bit about some of the subjects we're going to be talking about tonight, MK Ultra sort of programming. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of these, what he calls satanic ritual abuse cases, very similar to what Kevin Annette was talking about. Bob, he's worked with these people for 25 years, and I'm going to be listening to some of his stuff, and we'll just kind of let it go where he wants to go with it. And, you know, I told him, hey, we're open. We listen to a lot of stuff, and we got to keep an open mind, you know, and we have a lot of different guests on. So he's going to be on Monday night, Doug Riggs.
Hey, let me ask you another question.
Sure.
What on earth is happening?
Well...
No, let me ask you that one more time. What on earth is happening.com?
That and might be a place you go.
It's of what on earth is happening.com. His name is Mark Passio, and he's going to be joining us in the Revolution Broadcasting family with his own show. We'll bring the details out on that. But first, he's going to be joining us as a guest on our program tonight, Consciousness, Polarity, the Human Brain, Occult Influences, Mind Control. Let's see here. Subversive Symbolism, the Hegelian Dialectic, the Globalist Agenda, and, of course, Sovereignty, Natural Law, and Grassroots Solutions for Real Change. Mark, welcome to Truth Be Told Radio.
Bob, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Good. We're looking forward to the show. And let's start off with the last thing we mentioned, because usually with the guests we talk about the problems and all the different issues, but I think at this point a lot of this stuff we're going to talk about it problem-related, many of our listeners already know about, but they may not know about your approach to the solution side of things. So I want to start right off the back looking at that last portion of your presentation. You made this movie. It's a presentation. It's a documentary of sorts.
It's basically a slideshow presentation where I have a lot of graphics. I step through them as I explain the concepts that I go through in the presentation.
Right. So that's going to be a part of our interview tonight. Is going over some of the things that you hit on in your presentation, and of course we wanted to start with what I found to be the most fascinating part of your presentation, and that's some of the ideas of sovereignty. And throughout the show, I'm going to ask you to clarify sort of the root of many words. And I see you do that a lot in your studies. You like to get to the root meaning of the words.
Absolutely.
So here and there, we'll ask you to clarify what exactly some of these terms that we hear mean. For instance, apocalypse. So many people have heard the term apocalypse, especially in conjunction with the 2012 folks and the Mel Gibson movie, right? Apocalypse Now?
Apocalypto.
Or Apocalypto, excuse me, right. And then there's another movie called Apocalypse Now, right?
An old war film, yeah.
Okay. What does it exactly mean to say an apocalypse?
Well, apocalypse has a general negative connotation throughout most of our culture, but the actual roots of the word, if you get down to the Greek roots of the word, it does not have a negative meaning at all. You break down apocalypse into two basic roots, and they're both Greek, and one is apo, which is a prefix meaning to take away or to remove. And the other root is a verb, kalyptein, which means to cover or to conceal or to hide. So basically, apocalypse, when you put those two basic phonetic roots together, really means to take away the veil or to uncover that which has been hid up to this point. It means revealing, a great revealing.
Right.
So in that context, it is not negative at all. It's actually something that's very empowering.
So,
right on. Yeah.
Do you believe that we're in a time, I guess you can't say a time of apocalypse, or how would you phrase this?
I would absolutely say we're in the time called the apocalypse. We're in a great revealing in which what is taking place is that which has been hidden is being revealed and is coming to the surface and is being seen for what it is. We're in the apocalypse, so to speak.
And I think with the internet, it expedites that process for many people, but at the same time, it's kind of a double-edged sword because there's a lot of selflessness, as you mentioned in your film, of folks out there consumed with all this crap out there. Amongst all the crap, I kind of refer to the analogy of a vacuum. It sucks up all the junk, and occasionally it sucks up something valuable.
Right.
In order to find that valuable thing in the vacuum bag, you have to go through all the fluff and crap.
Sure. You know, I liken it to adding a whole lot of noise to a signal. You know, you have to really use the ear of discernment to pick out the signal in that mess. And that is what the internet can be sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I kind of like that what you said, Mark, because when you talk about the apocalypse, the revealing, and, you know, I know it does have a negative connotation, but sometimes the revealing is something you don't want to see, too. You know what I mean? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's not always a good thing. It can be something that you don't want to see as well as something that's good. You know, I mean, it just is kind
of
a clarity. Isn't it?
Of course.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who, as this information comes out, they want to turn away from it because it is so ugly. And I would suggest that that's probably one of the worst things you could do, because turning your back on the truth really is certainly not the answer. It has to be confronted, and the way out is through.
Hello?
Yes.
The way out is through?
The way out is through, period. We have to go through.
Okay.
You kind of caught guard there.
There isn't a way out. There's no escape from this. There's no escaping it. It has to be confronted and gone through instead of trying to look for an escape.
Gotcha.
That is the way out.
Interesting. So how do you deal with this burnout syndrome that folks seem to get?
Because,
you know, they get tramped down with the fear mongers. They get tramped down with the elite. They're going to push on for eugenics, and they're all Satanists, and they want to kill us all. And you see such evil, evil things be lied about, such as what took place on September 11, 2001. Folks seem to get burnt out. They you know, they're living in a world where most people are sheeple, and I hate to use that term, but I think a lot of people are not conscious, but, you know, I find out more and more every day that that seems to be the case, but it not necessarily is so, because I keep meeting people who are the exception to that. And but nonetheless, people get burnt out. They get tramped down. They don't think they can do anything. They, you know, what do you suggest to our listeners out there that are a bit fatigued with all this truth-related info?
Well, the first thing that I would say is that I'm not even immune to that dynamic. I certainly feel that, and it's like a weight pressing upon you when you understand and see clearly what is actually taking place, and it is as ugly as it is, and you see other people who continuously turn their back on it and ignore it and don't want to take action and don't want to become part of the solution. It can weigh on you, and it can become burdensome, so to speak. I think what we really have to keep in mind is that we're here for a reason. This information has come to us in the fullness that it has for a reason, and it is to bring the truth and keep speaking the truth into existence as much as possible, to provide a foundational support for others who may not be as strong in being able to confront what our actual reality has come to and deal with it. And I think as long as we stay in that spirit of truth, that we'll have the energy that we need to go forward. It's not always easy. I would be lying to you if I told you that it was, and I would be lying to you if I told you that I haven't felt that pressure, because I have. I think what we just have to do is stay focused and again, stay in that dynamic spirit of truth. That is the connection to source and the connection to energy that will get us through this.
Right on. Good. I think what you're getting at,
what he's getting at. Go ahead, Steve. Steve? I hear an echo on his end. I don't know what happened to Steve just now, but I think what you're getting at, is what he would have said, Mark. No, I have no idea what he would have said. And I hope we're still connected.
I got lost there for a second. My wireless phone gave out on me. I'm sorry, guys. Go ahead,
Mark. I figured that much. No problem. At least you had the other one off the line, so we didn't lose our connection. Mark, let's, if we can, go through the 10 things that you suggest in your presentation to get us out and to help folks channel their energy so that they're not burnt out. Because that's another thing I think folks should do is, organize, meet people on the internet, meet people in your community. Recently we had Zeitgeist Day in my community, and I met quite a few people here locally, which is always nice to see folks, in your local community who are also involved with this fight, so to speak. And it's not, it shouldn't be a fight. It should be, we need to approach it differently, don't we, Mark? We need to take a different approach. As you pointed out, the traditional definition of insanity is to keep repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting different results without changing anything.
Right. There certainly is a war for human consciousness going on, but we do have to try to look at it from a different perspective, that the people that we're trying to help, while they may be holding the dynamic the way that it is by giving their power away and by not looking at the situation, we have to realize that those are really the people that we have made a conscious free will decision to really help out of this mess. And that really involves also getting ourselves extricated from it as well, because we're all basically in this together. So we have to keep that in mind. And again, that's not always easy to do.
Right on. There's a lot of different models here. What we should talk about those is, that's kind of, I think, weighs into it, because, you've got so many different ideologies about what's happening at the present time, and there's never been a time like this in history where as much information has been available, as you said before, and there is a rising consciousness all across the globe in a magnificent new way, and that certainly plays into all of this. And I think the question is, as you said in your video, what on earth is happening, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So what is going on, and what should we do?
Well, I think what we can sum up as to what is going on, we could do it in two words. What is really taking place is mind control. That's really what's been going on for thousands of years on this planet. And that's really what we have to work on a solution for. Why do people fall into a trap of having someone else basically think for them and dictate their decision-making and their behavior? That's what mind control basically is. And again, that's giving over one's mental power and power of consciousness to someone else, because the person being manipulated doesn't really want to think for themselves, doesn't really want to take the responsibility of creating what they experience around them. They'd rather lay that responsibility on someone else. And as soon as they do that, that opens up the floodgates for all kinds of manipulative efforts. And that's really what we've seen happen. And it has progressed, and it has really grown in strength probably over thousands of years throughout human history. And we're really at a crux now. We're at a tipping point in which this dynamic can either be solved, and we can come out of it, and absolute new expressions of consciousness can come into manifestation, or we could go deeper into it if we fail at this task and really, you know, a real hurt can be put on this species as a whole. And I'd like to see that averted.
Yeah, same.
That's why I propose my solutions in my presentation, which I don't know if you want to go have me list them, or would you like to go through them one at a time? How would you want to work this?
Well, let's go through them. You might want to list them real quick, and then we'll go through them. How's that sound?
Yeah, let's list them, and then let's go through them one at a time.
Okay. So this is actually, you know, part four in the progression of the videos. It's the section, it's the third overall section in my presentation. I basically follow an outline where I present the solution, the essence of the solution first, which is consciousness. Then I talk about the problem in part two, and then in part three, I actually list and go through specific grassroots solutions that can be practically applied to solve the problem. So there's 10 of them. I chose that. It's kind of a symbolic number, and I'll just list them briefly, and then we could take them one at a time. So they are, I call this grassroots solutions for real change in consciousness. And number one is to heal our personal worldviews. Number two is to change the quality of our attention. Number three is to develop true present moment awareness. Number three is to change dietary considerations. Number five is to detach as much as possible from the current unethical monetary system that's in place. Number six is to withdraw our support from anyone in the role of a dominator, a domination over others. Number seven is to develop mindfulness. Number eight is the use of entheogenic compounds in conscious contexts. Number nine is to engage the power of positive thinking to the greatest extent that it is within our ability to do so. And number 10 is once the dynamic is fully understood about what is taking place here, I think we have a responsibility to help to awaken other people by speaking the truth into existence. And those are my 10 basic grassroots solutions, and we can look at them one at a time.
All right, great. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio on RevolutionBroadcasting.com. We want to thank RevolutionBroadcasting.com family for streaming our show. Also want to thank RepublicMedia.tv and RepublicMediaNews.com and so many other great folks fighting the good fight. We're now going to go through the list with Mark, whose website is WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com. Right?
Okay.
Okay, let's start with number one. I guess I don't need to load any fancy sound effects for each one, but maybe that would be fun. Let's see here. Can I get some far-out sound effects for each number here? Well, we'll start with number one, and then by number two, if I have something good, I'll play it.
Okay, great.
Number one.
Okay. So number one is called worldview healing. And this is basically changing the way we see our relationship to nature and to others, all other people. And basically what I based this solution on was the first principle of the Hermetic tradition, which is an ancient mystical tradition that talks about consciousness. And its first principle is that the universe is mental. Everything is really comprised of mental energy. So it's been stated many different ways. As we think, so we will be. What we think, we become. Okay? So it's basically understanding that everything is a reflection of the mind. And as we think inwardly, so our experiences are going to become outwardly. And we're going to have to experience that in the external reality. Now, changing or shifting in this worldview is, what I mean by that is we need to stop seeing everything as a state of separation, as us versus them. Now, I know that's a difficult thing to do, and I know, you know, there are people who are actually propagating the separatist worldview, getting other people to buy into it, and they really are manipulating people. So there are people who are propagating this problem in consciousness and in control. However, they're really a reflection of what is taking place in a wider sense in the consciousness of humanity. So as humanity were to change its thoughts and change its worldview and stop seeing things into separation, in a state of separation, that consciousness would propagate to a much greater extent, and we would slowly over time stop seeing the external negative manifestations that we see now. It could be done quickly, depending on how many people choose to see the world differently. But worldview is essentially, do we look at ourselves as totally separate from everything else, from other people, from nature, and look at the world as something that is ours to exploit and conquer?
Are you familiar with deep ecology, Mark?
No.
Deep ecology is a philosophy that was coined by a gentleman by the name of Arne Næss. I believe he's Norwegian or something like that. Anyways, the basic premise is that everything is connected, from the rocks to us to everything. It's all connected. We all come from the same place, in essence.
Yes.
Made of the same energy, in a sense.
Of course. And there are people who have forgotten that. They look at things as nature, for example. They look at as nature belongs to us. Mm-hmm. It's ours to exploit. It's ours to conquer as we see fit. And that's really the...
Divide and conquer, right?
Yeah. That's really the overarching worldview that pervades Western society at this time in history.
Also, that divide and conquer notion can be dividing oneself.
Sure.
In other words, if you are divided amongst yourself in a way in which, you know, we see with this mind control that's going on, that's another way to divide and conquer. To divide the folks amongst themselves. It doesn't have to be necessarily an us versus them sort of dialectic. It can be one divided amongst himself in a selflessness way.
Right. Inward division. So it basically means that you get the aspects of one's own consciousness warring against themselves within the individual, such that they are not a person that as they think, so they feel, so they act. They go against their better judgment, or they go against their emotions, and they take actions that really they don't really believe in or feel are deep down inside feel are right, but they justify them. And I call that in my presentation the state of internal opposition, because it's an oppositional worldview that is prevailing within the individual consciousness. And this is what really has to be healed. And that process of healing a divided worldview like that gets one to see that we really are all one, of the same source, of the same energy. We're all in the same situation together. You could look at it as, nature is not ours to conquer. It doesn't belong to us. It's exactly reversed from that situation, that we belong to nature, and we are a holistic part of it, an integrated part of the natural living system that surrounds us and that we, you know, are all one with.
Now, I think your number eight solution, number eight, which we'll get to,
mm-hmm.
allows people to remember that in a certain
That's way. Right. That's right. The use of entheogens in a conscious context. Yeah, we will talk about that. This healing of worldview in general has been termed shamanism. A shaman is, the actual word shaman means one who can see in the dark. Now think about that in the context of what we're talking about here tonight. In a time of darkness, a shaman is one who can see even in the darkness.
And I guess I should start describing myself as Bob Tuscan, radio talk show host and shaman.
Right. Neo-shaman, right.
Yeah.
You're using a new technique of shamanism, which is broadcasting your voice over the technology that's been made available to us and We could look at what we do as a form of shamanism. I tend to look at it as neo-shamanism. Ancient shamanism involves certain techniques, and neo-shamanism involves other newer, more modern techniques, but it's basically the same thing. It is a set of techniques for worldview healing and to bring that healing to the wider community of people around you. So that is solution number one, worldview healing, and it is all about what we hold in our mind, the power of the imagination, the power of creativity, the power of seeing things in a state of oneness. And it's extremely important, even though it's a bit abstract. I list it as the first solution because it ties into the first hermetic principle of the universe is mental. It is a mental construct. As we think, that is how we will experience our reality. So that's solution number one.
All right, solution number one, and let's get to solution number two. On Truth Be Told Radio. Okay.
Okay, so
number two.
The second solution I call changing the quality of our attention. So attention is one of what I call the two spiritual currencies. Okay? If you think about currency as energy flow, okay? Current, right? There's two basic real spiritual currencies, time and attention. And we say, this is even reflected in the language that we speak. We say, I'm spending my time, right? We say, pay attention, okay? Even in the actual word usage, in a colloquial sense, the expression of attention and time as money or as a form of currency is expressed there. So changing the quality of our attention means becoming better informed. Okay, what kind of information are we taking into ourselves? Because this is about, essentially, the state of consciousness is about everything that we take into ourselves, whether physically or through the eyes and ears. When we take it in through the mouth, through our food and nutrition, but it's also about what we take in through the information that we absorb. So what I propose is getting off of the poison stream, the poison waters. And obviously anyone listening to a radio station like this tonight already understands this quality, but I'm, of course, trying to bring this to a wider audience and not just preach to the choir and get new people involved in this. So in my presentation, I described that basically the media streams that most people are connected to are bought and paid for. They're propaganda. They're not telling people the truth, or even if they do, they put a little jewel of truth in there with all, a whole lot of lies, so you accept it all, and think that all the lies that they're throwing in there with the one little, bit of truth that they're giving you is a good thing. And essentially, what the forms of media, of mass media, of mainstream media forms that we have right now are a form of mental hypnosis, and it is part of mind control. It is designed to put people into a state of depression and a state of a lack of understanding. It really is dumbing people down, so to speak, and cutting them off from real information, which never really makes it into the mainstream media, and hence networks like this doing a great job bringing the truth to people and acting as a new form of media. And so changing the quality of attention is about getting off the poison stream and getting onto the clear waters of information.
Now, let me ask you a question.
That's how we...
So throwing out my television out of my fourth-story apartment count as doing that?
Yeah, I'd recommend that to others as well. I mean, there's
okay,
there may
but,
be
yeah,
some...
Folks, wait, let me make a quick disclaimer. Do not do it if you have anybody walking underneath you. It could be dangerous.
keep that in mind. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, most things on television support the status quo, and they really they're really not there to tell anybody the truth and get them information that they really need to see and hear. They're doing what they're doing for a paycheck. And it really is one of the lowest. It's really one of the lowest states of consciousness that you would be willing to sit and lie to somebody or to give them misinformation that deep down inside,
just to make
even these
money.
People who even these talking heads can't even really believe some of the things that they put out.
Look what happened with our buddy Steve. Steve, you were in the mainstream news establishment for a little bit, and they took you from news and moved you to sports.
Yeah, they did. Well, you know, when I listen, I hear a lot of good things and stuff. The questions I have, of course, you know, are, I mean, my worldview may be a little bit different than yours, Mark. I'm not sure that people are coming around. And I don't think that they're necessarily supposed to. I mean, I think my view of revelation, in a sense, is that the revelation is that, you know, some people are just not going to make it. Things are going to change. And that's where we're going, you know. And it's kind of like the Titanic. There's a moment of revelation when some people realize they're on the wrong boat. You know, some are in the little boats that are going to survive, and some are on the big boats going down.
Right.
And, I hate to... See, the tough part about trying to, as we talked about revelation, you know, plug in this apocalyptic view is that it's happened so many times in the past with Napoleon, with Hitler, and,
right.
You know, it can be very disempowering if you get the idea that the world is just destined to be this way and people don't either do something either to resist. But I guess what I'm saying is that I don't know that it probably does not fit into a Christian worldview where you'd say, well, you know, the mark of the beast is coming. RFID chip is probably something similar to it. You know, we're seeing the one world government. Israel's been restored for better or for worse. And, you know, it's coming down to the end of what's going to happen here. And so some people would say that the awareness or the consciousness is coming to a realization of that. And a lot of other folks, of course, would keep an idea and an ideology and maybe a more of an optimistic point of view that if we can somehow, rearrange our thinking, we can change the inevitable. I'm not sure that I think that's possible. I mean, that's just my point of view anyway. I'm not, you know, you don't have to accept that, but you know, how do you work with that at all, or where do you go?
Sure.
With that?
Yeah. I don't take either a totally deterministic point of view that it's unchangeable, nor am I overly optimistic in thinking that this is going to be easy or that everybody will get it. I don't think the dynamic is changing as fast as it needs to change as well. So don't think that I am a wild-eyed optimist and think that we're all just going to be okay. I think that it's a matter of free will interacting with natural law. Laws are in place. The universe, the creator of the universe, whatever force or consciousness that is, created laws that this place is essentially bound by and is run according to. And those natural laws are really designed for our betterment and happiness and for us to function in them in a state of balance and equilibrium, unless we use our free will decisions to go against those laws, in which case things can get really unpleasant. And that's really what we've been tricked into doing as a whole society by a small coterie of mind control occultists who are experts in mind control because they know more about the human psyche than pretty much anybody else on this planet. And they've decided that natural law is a prison that they don't want to live in, and they're going to basically turn this place into a hell, and they're going to rule it.
Better
to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Yeah. Their attitude is it's better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, and that's where they're going with their system that they're putting into place. But I disagree a bit is it isn't unchangeable. It can be changed. is a whole lot different than will.
Yeah, I hear you.
It can be changed, but will we choose that through the power of our will and through the power of our care, our collective care? The dynamic of care has a lot to do with this. You know, do we care enough to change it? You know, I don't know where, you know, where I see that dynamic of care isn't in such a great place right now, but it is on the rise from where it was. I think it has to come up a lot faster than what we're seeing. We need an acceleration, and we need to all take to heart that we really need to put the pedal to the metal and stay the course, so to speak, as far as really putting this information out to other people and trying to wake them up as fast as possible. It can be done, but again, will is a whole different thing. How many people in this whole dynamic will decide to use the power of care and will to make a change and to change themselves, and how many will ignore it? I don't know what those numbers are. I think more are ignoring it now than are actually actively using it to create positive change. But again, I think those numbers are slowly coming up. We just need to accelerate them a bit.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I kind of reflect back to, I think, when I was, I don't know, about 1972 or 73, I just came home one, and this was after Richard Nixon was elected in 72, I think it was. And I remember he ran against Hubert Humphrey in 68, basically on the policy of ending the war in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Or everybody thought that he was going to put an end to this, and we had bad policy, and there was going to be a change. And now here it was 4 years later, and the Vietnam War was still going on. And now he was telling us if he got in just one more term, he'd have it all fixed, you know. And I remember looking at a book at that time that was called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And I was just kind of a young guy. And I was reading through that book, and it said something to the effect of why Americans kept voting every election, thinking things were going to change, and never did.
Right.
And
sure.
Having come through this last election where we, you know, had high hopes for, well, I didn't anyway. I kind of figured this is the way it was going to turn out. But Barack Obama, to put an end to the wars and to get transparency back into the government, to correct all these financial problems, to fix health care, you know, and put people back into a situation where we were, you know, back on track again. And yet now we find, I think a lot of us anyway, and I think in, speak for most of the listening audience, that there wasn't a change. I mean, there was a spare change, you know what I mean? There was no change at all. As a matter of fact, it seems to have gotten worse. So the only reason why I bring that up politically is not because it doesn't have a, you know, of course we know it has a bearing on everything as well, because we've talked about that. But I guess what I was saying is that, you know, I agree with you it can change, but will it?
Right.
The question I have also is, as you talked about mind control, you talked about elitism, and Bob and I have been talking about this for quite some time. We're in full agreement with you there that there are people who are manipulating everything. And will it change? I don't know. I agree with you there. I like to keep an optimistic point of view, because I don't believe anything is definitely for certain that has to happen immediately.
Steve, we're only on solution number two, buddy. At least let's get to five or six. Come on now.
Yeah, I thought we were on three or four by now, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Well,
this
is good, because this really gets down to the dynamic of consciousness, you know, and that's really where my perspective in all of this comes in. I don't believe in politics. I think politics is a sideshow to distract people from really starting to learn about themselves. I'd like to read two quick quotes, if I may, on this section, and it really has to do with what we understand, and it does have to do with changing the quality of our attention and whether we keep trying to analyze our prison or whether we really get down to the fundamentals of human consciousness and understand what's driving the dynamic that we don't like to see. You know, that's the only way we're really going to change it. If we get enough information about the problem, and we understand enough about ourselves to then go inward and change it. External solutions are really just, I think they're distractions as far as what the real solution comes down to, which is really understanding what's driving the problem. And what's driving the problem, as I've already stated, is mind control. If you become a person that isn't susceptible any longer to mind control because you understand its methodologies and you understand yourself enough to the point where you cannot be mind controlled, this problem would go away overnight. So I want to read a quick quote, and this is actually inscribed on the Oracle of Delphi in Greece. It says, "Heed these words, you who wish to probe the depths of nature. If you do not find within yourself that which you seek, neither will you find it outside. If you ignore the wonders of your own house, how do you expect to find other wonders? In you is hidden the treasure of treasures. Know thyself, and you will know the universe and the gods." It's saying that the external reality that we're experiencing is an internal reflection of all the consciousnesses that comprise it. So what we're experiencing is because most people do not understand how their consciousness is structured and organized, and therefore they can easily fall prey to misdirection, to manipulation, to misinformation, and deception. And this is another quote. I believe this one is from Ian Williams Goddard, who is an artist. He said, "A society whose citizens refuse to see and investigate the facts, who refuse to believe that their government and their media will routinely lie to them and fabricate a reality contrary to verifiable facts, is a society that chooses and deserves the police state dictatorship that it is going to get."
Wow. No argument for
and
me there.
I concur with that. I concur
yeah,
with that.
I do, too.
I think we're given choices, and based upon the choices that we make, that's the reality that we get. And those choices are always between two overarching dynamics, fear and love. We keep choosing fear because we're in a state of internal confusion and internal opposition. We're going to keep getting results in the external reality that we don't want to see and experience. We choose love, and we choose the control over our own minds, not giving away our power externally and having ourselves be mind-controlled externally through another influence outside of ourselves. Then we're going to choose the power of love, and we're going to get out of this mess and build something new in its place. But the choice is, again, a function of what we actually hold within ourselves. That choice is governed by the power of our will. And do we have the will to go through this? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just proposing the solutions as I have discovered them. The solutions to this problem are there. Will we choose them is a different story.
Yeah, that's a good question, Mark. You know, and that's up for our listeners to decide and for the masses to decide at the end of the day. None of us would be here if it wasn't for love, right?
It's everything that is, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes down to it, the force of fear is illusion, which is why we keep getting what we don't want when we engage it, because it's really not there. It's an illusion, and it's only going to take us into a state of further seeming separation. Even though that separation doesn't really exist, our perception can keep growing and growing that it is a state, everything is a state of separation. But perception is not reality. But perception, wrongly directed, can create a reality that we don't want to experience. But it is not equated with the truth. Love is actually the only essence or dynamic that really is there. The question is, do we engage that and choose it, or do we turn our back on it, which is turning our back on the truth and turning our back on reality?
Right on. You know, I hate to interject this, but I think about a time at a point in history when Jeremiah the prophet, right before his period of time, actually, there was a young king by the name of Josiah, who was only 8 years old. And the people at that time had lost the law. It's kind of, I think, connects to what you're talking about with the law of nature, if you like. But they had lost the law of God. And they found the law hidden in some dusty old caverns in the temple and read it. And they realized basically that the whole nation was under a curse, and it was getting ready to come down. And people came in touch with such a grip to this there was such a move of consciousness, if you like, or repentance, if you like that. Either word you can use,
right.
I suppose. In this case, it was, you know, that people realized that we're under a curse. My gosh, this
right.
this is all getting ready to come down on us. And everything that's happened so far has been foretold that it would, and this is the way it's going. And the
right.
people basically repented, and then the prophet, I believe it was, I'm not sure whether it was Jeremiah or Isaiah, said, no, it was Jeremiah, I think, who said, look, God is going to give you 40 years. You'll have 40 years. The curse is going to come, but I'm going to put it off in your generation. Since you guys have pretty much connected again with reality, I can delay this thing from happening. Now, the inevitable, which we may not like to believe or could may be able to change and delay as well, the situation was going to come, and it did, 40 years later. But there was an intervention there, and everything changed at that point. And sometimes I see us right at this moment whether we're going to continue on a road that looks really bad or whether there's going to be an awakening, and people are going to come to grips and saying, wow, this is really getting hairy. This is getting nasty,
right.
you know. And you can either call it a consciousness or a repentance, but somehow they connected. And I just thought I'd interject
sure.
that there. It's maybe a little bit
Absolutely.
More of a biblical point of view, but it does relate to a lot of what you're saying here.
Absolutely. We're coming up to that moment of choice very rapidly. And, you know, this is the beginning of that repentance or awakening, however you want to look at it. Just a radio show like this that's talking about these types of themes means that there's an audience, small though it may be, that is becoming aware of what is actually taking place and does want to move forward through it to the solutions and to look at the word solution. You know, it is basically the same root as soul. You know, the soul, light, you know, solar, the sun, and that's what it is really all about. It is about the restoration of the soul. It's about the restoration of human consciousness from a dark place where it dwelled in for so long. And there are elements, again, maybe the dynamic is very small, but it is on the rise, and it is coming up through that dark place and transcending it. And I think if we just keep at it and, disregard anybody saying that, oh, this can't be done, you know, just put our head down and charge forward, I think we can make an impact. You know, I think there are people who are ready to hear this information now more than ever, particularly in the age of information that we're in. And going back to the second point, the quality of our attention, there's so much information out there on the Internet through books, you know, through great documentaries that people put out, very creative people. We need to shift the quality of our attention to material like that and stop putting it on trivial matters like, you know, trivial forms of entertainment and television shows and, you know, sporting events, you know, to really understand what is really going on around us, but more importantly, understand what's going on within us. So that is solution two, changing the quality of our attention.
So well, we spent a lot of time. We're almost at the top of the hour here, so we're going to pause
and get
our station identification in and whatnot. And then we promise we're going to get to all 10 at some point in the next hour. Okay, Mark?
I'll start rolling through them a bit quicker.
Well, you know, we can take our time. I mean, we have the full hour, so it's
right.
not a big deal. That's kind of the cool thing about having you on and using these as sort of a guideline for our interview. It creates all sorts of questions with each thing that you suggest.
Right.
Steve, let's see here. It's revolutionbroadcasting, right, .com?
Yeah, that's what
they lie. .com?
That's right, theylie.com.
And what's Mark's website, Mark?
whatonearthishappening.com.
whatonearthishappening.com. Okay. Let's see here. Who else am I forgetting, Steve?
Well, we have republicmedia.tv, and we also have righttoredress.com. So many other people. We do appreciate all the folks out there who are carrying our feet. Blog Talk Radio, we should mention, does carry all of our archives of shows, and they've been very good to help us. We really appreciate Blog Talk. You can just go to our page and you can see all kinds of things that we're doing. And, you know, we've had Ralph Epperson, we've had Officer Jack McLam, Kevin Annett, Greg Szymanski, how many people. We had Paul Connett talking about fluoride. So I don't want to get off the subject too much, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff up there, friends. And if you go to our website, theylie.com, you can usually find just about a link to everything that we're doing. And, you know, of course, you may not see eye to eye personally on everything that we have to say, but we definitely try to give a platform for people to talk, and we try to reach common ground and at the same time identify some of the main issues that are out there, you know, and sometimes it's kind of negative, but sometimes we try to present a solution. You? I think that was a you were listening to.
Truth Be Told Radio.
At Revolution
Broadcast. Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Sorry. I'm all dysfunctional tonight. Here we go. We'll be right back on Truth Be Told Radio.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio on Revolution Broadcasting at revolutionbroadcasting.com.
Okay, welcome back.
This is Governor Jesse Ventura, and I just want you to know, listening to Bob and Steve is really going to help you out. You know, I think it's incumbent upon all Americans to wake up and to be a part, and Truth Be Told Radio is really one of those places you should go. Surf's up. Bye-bye.
All right, that's, of course, Governor Jesse Ventura. No, I'm just joking, folks. This is Truth Be Told Radio, so in all reality, that was Steve's wonderful impression of Jesse.
Yeah, you know, you, Bob, you don't get to be a professional wrestler and a governor by, you know, just lying around and getting beat up.
All right, so we're having fun, but let's get back to our guest,
okay.
Mark, from What is happening? What on earth is really happening? There we go, right?
What on earth is happening?
Okay. See, I get confused here because there's, what is it?
What really happened?
Yeah, that website. That gets me all mixed up. But anyways, all right, so what on earth is happening? And Mark's with us. He has his full film there for free. So another one of these guys who's out there just to get the message out. And he's...
Nine hours of video in the presentation. Four parts to it.
You're not a wealthy man. What made you want to give it out for free?
Just the recognition that understanding what I understand may put me at an advantage as far as how I look at this dynamic and how I see the things that are playing out in the world. But that's useless unless I bring that information to other people. Because it helped change me, and if I could speak it to other people and it can help change them, then it's really doing some good in the world. If I know it,
yeah,
great, but it really isn't changing anything or doing any real good unless I speak it into existence.
And that's the same reason why we do our radio show, and the same reason why Steve made his film, HIV Equals AIDS, Fact or Fraud, in which Steve pretty much had to go through bankruptcy and a couple of other mishaps, Steve, there, but...
Yeah.
It was a big sacrifice that you paid to get the message out.
Yeah, and it really relates to kind of what we're talking about too, Bob, because, you know, the fear, and I would use the acronym FEAR of Fear-Empowered AIDS Religion. And I know that might strike a lot of people as being very strange, but the power of the viral hypothesis is the propellant for what has happened with approximately $350 billion, with a B, dollars, and millions of people poisoned with very toxic drugs over a viral scare. It's much like H1N1, only it's lasted for 30 years. The very same thing, really. But anyhow, I don't want to go into too much of that. I want to get back to Mark and his topics. But just that the fact that does relate, we see the same thing with 9/11, of course. People are afraid of this. And they shut down. And this is kind of the dangerous part, because when they see World Trade Center 7, you know, I mean, it's very difficult to look at World Trade Center 7 over and over and over without having some serious problems with your thinking unless you're ready for some truth.
I mean, I showed it to my mom, and when the light bulb went off for her, she immediately shut down.
Yeah.
So rather than saying, oh, this is something good to learn and learn how to compartmentalize that information, she shut down and went back to her escapist mentality. But anyways, that's just, you know.
Well, are there consequences to this? See, this is kind of the problem that I run into, and this is sort of where you run almost aground on the whole biblical worldview, that there's consequences to this. I mean, this can get very, very dangerous if for people after a while. You know, I don't know if you like this phrase, but, you know, Jesus said, you know, light is coming to the world, but men chose darkness because their deeds were evil. And people
right.
didn't really want to see this stuff. And eventually there's a consequence to this, is kind of the biblical worldview. Now, I know a lot of folks don't like that. But, you know, again, as we're talking about these different ideologies, I thought I would throw that in as another balance or at least a parallel of truth in some area, and then we can go on from there.
It is definitely a choice between confronting what we have become or turning our backs on it, ignoring it, and letting it continue to slide downward. And I know what decision I've made in that, and, you know, hopefully more people will make that choice as well.
Very good. You know, I think the American Indians had a great little analogy once of they said your conscience or your inner consciousness, if we like, is a little bit like a kind of like a spurred wheel on the inside of your heart. And every time you do something that violates it, the little wheel spins and it pricks
right.
you and it makes you aware
right.
of something internally. But if you keep ignoring it, the spurs on the wheel wear down after a while. And
right.
And it no longer becomes effective.
Has an effect. Right.
Yeah. It's, what
it's like a compass. It's like a compass. You know, it's telling us whether we're heading in the right direction or not. That's another analogy you can look at it, like a compass needle. And if we ignore it, we get lost.
Very good, yeah.
So
Bob, what do you think?
I'll go into solution three.
Number three.
So I call this one true present moment awareness. Okay, and basically, there's a new age concept about present moment awareness that really has a lot of attention right now. It's kind of headed up by Eckhart Tolle, who is like a guru in a sense, and talks about present moment awareness, the power of now, etc. This is a little bit different than that. I see people taking that whole idea and turning it into becoming obsessed with the minutia of the daily happenings of their lives. And that's not what real present moment awareness is. In the context that I'm referring to it as, it is actually a broadening of a perspective and pulling back. Instead of having tunnel vision and looking at minutia to quote-unquote be present, okay? It is actually pulling back and seeing a wider picture of what's going on and actually taking up a role in that large dynamic. In other words, no longer focusing on the self and what is just simply going on in my life, but looking at the bigger picture of what's going on globally and saying, you know, how can I become a part of the solution to these global problems that we're witnessing versus just focusing on all the little daily activities of my life. Now, most people are completely out of this state of consciousness. They are focused on either the past or the future. They're living their lives either in a state of regret over what has already occurred and cannot be changed, or they're living their life over anxiety about something that hasn't occurred yet instead of actually taking a role to be effective in the now, in the present moment. And that's what I mean by true present moment awareness. And the big slide in this part of the presentation is a painting of that depicts the Gnostic crucifixion. And it has Jesus hanging on the cross in the middle, representing the present moment. And then the two thieves that are crucified by his side, one represents the past, one represents the future, which both thieve from the present moment awareness. So I think it's that image is a good analogy, is a good symbolic analogy to keep in mind of what real present moment awareness is. It's not getting pulled either into the past or into the future. The past is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. The future hasn't arrived yet. It doesn't exist anymore. Focus on the now and what you can do to be part of the solution in this moment. So that's present moment, true present moment awareness.
That's very good.
Paul,
yeah. Profound.
Yes. Paul,
That's what we hope to do with our program, too, is because, as I said before, a lot of people have seen the Holocaust coming, or the great revelation, or the apocalypse, as we've called it, the exposing, or the peeling back, and they look at the future and cringe. And other
right.
people become empowered or basically just don't realize that, you know, well, the end is not yet, and what can we
That's
do
right.
now, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly it.
And things could change. You know, as I've said,
sure.
we change things. It's not impossible. It's happened before, you know. And this road that we seem to be going down, it doesn't look good. And I'm not, you know, I've been pretty honest about that. I try not
sure.
to shun away from the reality of what's happening. But at the same
of course.
Time, I see possibilities, and I try to keep myself open to believing, you know, that we can see a great world coming into view, even in the next few years, if we change things. If, and as you said before,
if.
There's a difference between will
That's
and
right.
can. Yeah, it's a good.
That's
good.
Right.
Let's go. Let's go. Does that cover that one, or do we have one more?
That's perfect, and that's a great understanding of it. What you just said there, that really sums it up. That's what true present moment awareness is really all about. So I'll move on to the next one. The fourth one is one that we all have at least a certain power to enact in our daily life. And this one's largely within our power to change, and that's changing the way we eat. Food is a big part of what is going on. It's a big part of the problem that we're up against because companies that produce and market food are about profit more than they are about nutrition for people that buy from them. They're putting chemical pesticides.
For that matter, all businesses are in the business of making money first and foremost.
Over
anything else. So, for instance, the pharmaceutical companies, they may say they're in the business of saving lives. No, folks, they're in the business of making money. The car companies are not in the business of providing cars. Otherwise, they would provide functional cars that wouldn't break down, that wouldn't be under the rules of controlled obsolescence. And, you know, nothing fails when we have this sort of monetary system, this sort of illusion upon us, when businesses are always going to choose making money as first and foremost, because that's what the sole purpose of a business is.
Yes,
I was just going to say I'm convicted too, to be honest with you, about the food issue. Yeah, I really am, and I'm not heavy. I'm thin, but I don't eat right, and I know that's a big part of it. And so I got to be honest and say, you know, that's something I.
So
need
what
to do.
What do you not eat right, Steve? What do you eat? You're a meat eater, right?
Well, I drink a lot of coffee, you know, you know, stuff like that. I don't do a lot of pop or anything. I stay away from sugar food. I'm staying away a lot more from sugar these days. But, you know, we're talking about genetically modified foods. We're talking about a lot of things.
Yeah, all the poisons. We could spend the whole show on this.
Right.
Sure.
So these are all topics in and of themselves, sure. But essentially, we need to move toward locally produced organic food. That's one of the main things. And get away from unnecessary drugs and medications. That's the big part. Those are the two big dual parts of this aspect of the solution. Pharmaceuticals are not the way we create health. We have to stop looking at it as patching problems that are largely self-induced and look at it as how do we really generate health? And you really generate health by essentially what you put into your body and mind. This connects very much with worldview healing and quality of attention, okay? It's about what we put into ourselves in totality, whether it comes from the information we take in or whether it comes from the food we eat and whatever medication we may take or not take. So I think a lot of solutions that the pharmaceutical industry wants to hand us reflect this idea of a pill for every ill. And that needs to be thoroughly rejected because these pharmaceuticals, again, don't create health. And as a matter of fact, they create a lot of ill health through the side effects that they have. And so getting off of unnecessary medications, particularly I talk about SSRI drugs in my presentation, which are antidepressants, which I think are one of the most dangerous classes of compounds that you can put into the human body because of the way they affect mental clarity, serotonin levels, and emotional states, which are our compass for moral direction in life. So get on to organic foods, get off of the unnecessary medications and pharmaceuticals, and start generating health instead of trying to patch problems that are created by eating the wrong things.
Vegetarian, not vegetarian?
I'm vegetarian. However, I think that goes down to the dynamic of we have to understand and respect sentience in all life. That's my choice. I think that as long as we kind of treat other life in ways that are demeaning and degrading and ruthlessly treating other life, natural life on Earth, to an extent, we're going to experience that. That's one of the reasons that drove me to become a vegetarian. People will disagree with that. Some people look at it differently. I don't look at animals as food anymore. I was once a big meat eater. I look at them as sentient beings that have a right to live and be happy just like we do. And that's why I chose to become a vegetarian. I've been vegetarian for about two and a half years now.
Well, there certainly are a lot of chemicals and hormones in our meat, too, that we have to be considering. Even if you're a meat eater, there's some
sure.
real problems with that. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
If you want to try to go free range and anything that isn't being treated with antibiotics and other hormones. Yeah. So that's changing the diet. That's solution number four.
What about fluoride before we go on?
Oh, fluoride in the water. That's another big one. Huge. Making people docile, dumbing them down, changing the chemical composition and electromagnetic flow in the brain, calcifying the pineal gland. You can go on and on about the dangers of fluoride. It's just a toxic poison. It doesn't belong in the drinking water, and we need to get it out of the drinking water.
About the calcifying of the pineal gland,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna talk a little bit about that. Rama, who's coming on our show on April 9th,
okay.
Thought about pineal gland activation. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I'll tell you what. I will talk about that actually when we get to the next section because it's going to tie directly into what I'm going to talk about in the next solution.
And here we go.
Okay, the next solution is, this is a huge one, and it's probably one of the most difficult ones in all of the 10. To the extent that it is within our power, detach as much as possible from the current immoral monetary system that we have. And we have a fractional reserve banking system, a fiat currency that essentially is backed with only the faith of the people that use it. And this is really what is driving the large portion of the dynamic that we're witnessing, because these bankers are really the occult elites that are really running the show behind the scenes. Now, to go to your question from the last section about the pineal gland, I'm going to tie this in, again, with the meaning of words, okay, and the origins of words. In English, the word money, this is something that is so obvious and simple, but hardly anyone sees it. Hardly anyone ever brings this up, but it's right there every single day, right before our eyes, hidden in plain sight. Money is an occult word, okay? Break down the word money. M-O-N is the prefix that means one, mono, right?
Yeah.
And then E-Y is basically phonetically I.
Yeah.
Mon I, the one I. Right in the word money, they're selling you a proxy for the awakened pineal gland, the one eye.
Ah.
This is another reason they color the money in the United States green. Green is a color of love, nature, and balance, and it's the middle of the visible spectrum that the eye perceives. So they're selling the idea that here, this is what creates balance. This is what will create balance between the left brain hemisphere and the right brain hemisphere to open the one eye, the pineal gland. So money is a very, very occult concept in general. The invention of money comes from the ancient world, from occultic systems. And they're putting the one eye right on the dollar bill, on the reverse of the Great Seal of the United States. Because of how that resonates subconsciously with people. It's a talisman. So
a lot of sense. And
yeah, I break that down extensively in my presentation in part three. But to go forward with the solution to this, we have to detach as much as it is within our power from this immoral monetary system. Look at what fractional reserve banking is. Understand the Federal Reserve System and how they're really controlling monetary policy in the United States, and how it is really the pillaging of the American people's savings. And we need to definitely end the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
We need to stop using the forms of fiat currency that we're using. We need bartering. We need local bartering systems. We need gift economies. We really need to get off the idea that we need to profit from our exchanges with people. There's only really resources and people in the world, and we need to, this comes together with worldview.
Are you familiar with the idea of post-scarcity economics?
I'm not familiar with the term, no.
Well, let's talk about that off the air sometime, Mark, because I want to share some of the information that I have on that with you. I think you'd like it.
Sure.
Yeah,
ultimately, the idea of money in general, when our consciousness reaches a certain level, really does need to go away. And that's going to
look at the Star Trek series.
Right.
I mean, that's a perfect example. They didn't have money in that series. They were beyond that. And with a replicator, you don't need money because it takes away the idea of scarcity to a certain extent. And that's
I want to tie this into energy as well, because money is a form of energy, really, okay, to get things done, to perform work, right? You
yeah,
receive
exactly
money in exchange.
Yeah.
It's an exchange. So really, this ties in with the energy paradigm that we're addicted to as well. And I'm involved with a group here in Philadelphia called the Tesla Science Foundation, that works with the science that Nikola Tesla championed and pioneered, and is working toward the solution of toward creating a new energy paradigm, a new way of seeing energy, and helping to implement Tesla's vision of industrial strength wireless power transmission free for the world, which, of course, he was shut down by the financial interests of his time, particularly by J.P. Morgan,
yeah,
the Astor family, the Rothschild family, and others who were backing Morgan. So that's an important point, that essentially energy is like a form of currency as well, and it is really the control of energy is the control of human beings.
Yeah.
So we need to get off of this fossil fuel, oil-based energy paradigm, which is as immoral as the monetary system that we're addicted to and attached to, and build a new paradigm of energy that fits in with this monetary detachment in a lot of ways.
You know, I can agree with that the whole money system. I'd be a little different outlook on it. I don't see money as the problem, as the love of money. Money is not
sure.
The root of all evil, but the love of money, because it's like you said, it is an energy unit, and what it represents is human servitude. And when people want to accumulate money, they want to accumulate human servitude unto themselves.
Right.
And that becomes a problem, and especially with the Federal Reserve, the way it's set up. You know, of course, Mr. Lincoln and Mr. Kennedy were both shot trying to set up a
sure.
debt-free currency system that was based on a debt-free currency, a silver
right.
certificate and Lincoln's greenbacks. And this ran aground with the Rothschild banking cartel, of course, as you know, who basically ran things. And we've been fighting them in this country from the very beginning, and we don't realize that. World War One, World War Two,
sure.
obviously Vietnam, and now what's happening. We're being fleeced mightily across the world. So, you know, what I've said with Bob is that I think our key transition and bridge point here, if we're looking into the future where we can eventually create a system that is not directly related to the monetary goals that the world's economy is currently at, we have to fix the flat rather than reinvent the wheel first. And I'd say the best thing to
sure.
do is to get rid of the Federal Reserve and put the government back into a debt-free currency system, and share the Treasury wealth as our proponent and propellant for future endeavors, and that way the money goes back into all of our pockets instead of into the control of elite few, and that would be one of the big starts. So I would interject
yeah.
that as
that would certainly be a stepping stone. That would
right.
be better than what we have now.
Right.
I think what we ultimately need to get to is the real money, which is the one eye that and that we carry within all of us. And that's the balance point that we need to strive to get to as far as consciousness is concerned, the blending of the male and female within us all, the left and right brain, that's called the chemical wedding in many mystical traditions. And that's the real, when we reach that balance point, that's the opening of the real one eye, and that's what money ultimately really is.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, we're definitely moving toward that direction. I do believe in the utopia. I'm not sure it's going to happen right away, but, you know, I'm not against the ideas about the concepts and constructs about it, and wanting to find, again, ways that we can bridge into it and just basically look at what's wrong and why it's not going there, which is kind
right.
of my goal, Mark. But go ahead, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It fits in with worldview. It depends on whether we see ourselves connected or separate. And when we see ourselves separate, there's going to be more attachment to money.
Yeah.
The fake money, anyway.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So
it's fake. Yeah.
That is the number five. Let's move on to number six. This is an equally difficult one. I call this the non-support of dominators and those who are exercising domination over others in the world. So there's really two groups of individuals, and in my dealings with the occult, I have come to understand that these are actually the two most mocked groups of individuals on the planet. They are looked at with the most disdain by their controllers than any other group of individuals on the planet, even more so than the average human being that doesn't understand what they're doing, that they call useless eaters, or another term they have for them is the dead, okay? But there are two groups that they look at even with more disdain than those people who don't understand that dynamic. And these are the people who don't understand the dynamic that they're in and support it anyway in a violent way or in a controlling way. And those two groups are police and military. And really, these are the people who are implementing the New World Order system physically, okay? These are the people who are actually instituting the globalist plan for the world. I know that's a harsh way of looking at it and stating it, but if you really get down to the fundamentals of it, that's the truth. These two groups of people who are actually carrying out the tasks assigned to them by these elitists, by these globalist elitists. And it is provable that they look at these people as the most detestable people on the earth, more so than just a person who is looking at what they're doing and saying, okay, I don't think that what they're doing is right or moral. Their owners, and they have owners, hate them and detest them and despise them and will use them and throw them away, okay? And this we have to try to heal these people's worldview, the people who are upholding this system more than any other people, the police and the military. We need to try to heal their worldview and not look at them in that same way as disdain. We need to try to help get them out of the state of consciousness that they're trapped in, which is that separatist worldview. And if you really understand a bit about neuroscience, okay, there are different classes of chemicals which will damage and destabilize the human neocortex, which is the part of the brain that really is responsible for rational decision-making and for holistic thought, for any kind of scientific thought, any kind of logic, any kind of artistic creativity, any kind of nurturing, okay, or feeling connected with other people, an emotional connectedness. When you add certain compounds to the brain abusively, you get a further destabilization and damaging of this part of the brain, okay? And the substance that will have some of the most profoundly damaging effects on the human neocortex, believe it or not, that will destabilize the neocortex and actually create holes of electrochemical deadness electrochemical deadness, where there are no neural pattern firing in certain areas of the brain that are responsible for rational decision making, is adrenaline. Adrenaline will damage the brain more than almost any other substance in this regard when it is chronically released through the endocrine system.
Wow.
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
How many people in the military and the police on a daily basis are getting, they're adrenaline junkies.
Yeah.
They're getting this rush of adrenaline constantly on a daily basis and become addicted to it. And it's damaging the actual portions of the brain that deal with rational decision making. What we have to understand as a people who are trying to solve this problem that we're experiencing of the continuation of the erosion of our liberties and freedoms and the encroaching police state, is that we're dealing not just with people who have made decisions to do immoral things. They're making these decisions because they're actually ill. The desire to control other people in the ways that these people are making decisions to do so is an illness that has a basis in the physiology. And brain scans will show this definitively. This is scientifically provable.
Wow.
Okay? These are ill people. They need help. They need treatment for this disease more so than they need our hatred. Okay? So I am trying to help these individuals. I'm trying to save their lives by explaining this information to them. Okay? You're not well. People in the police and military right now are not well. They're very, very mentally destabilized. And this is provable in neuroscience and in brain scan technology. You can look at these portions of the physiology with the incredible technology that's available today, and this is an actual provable condition. So what we need to do is withdraw our support, not from the people, but from the actions and roles that they're playing. Okay, the actual actions that they're taking up to go along with these agendas and to support imperialistic wars of aggression in other sovereign countries, we need to pull back our support from what they are doing and make it stated to them in no uncertain terms that we do not support what they do. Family members need to do this, wives, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers. You know, it's a difficult thing because this is a generationally entrenched dynamic, particularly with military and police. And it's going to take a rise in our own personal consciousness to communicate those ideas over to them. And it really is about conveying a moral lesson to these individuals so that we get them, get their consciousness raised up to a point where they won't go along with an immoral agenda that's given to them.
Yeah,
but that's easier said than done.
Oh yeah, that's one of the most profound things I think you've said all night, Mark. And you know, as you reflect on that, I can actually relate to that and learn a lot from what you just said, because you know, so many of the people in law enforcement have come out of the military these days. As a matter of fact, it's almost an 80 or 90% prerequisite of some sort that people coming out of the military. A very good friend of mine was on a SWAT team. And a deputy sheriff, and he had been in the Marine Corps before. And, I mean, the guy can be as sweet as he can be, but he has a real rough side. There's a bad side to him. And I can relate to this because his name is Bill. And I like Bill. I really do. But there's a side of Bill that is really unstable, I can tell. And, I mean, I can't believe that this guy is, you know, I mean, he's one of those people who is in law enforcement. I know we had Officer Jack McGlam on here. I want to take too much time about this and get on to the next point, but you know, he was talking a little bit about the same sort of thing that happens, and it's very difficult for a lot of these folks to realize that the situation that they're in is a dangerous, misleading. I mean, our whole society is about cops and robbers. I mean, look at all the adrenaline movies you see with this stuff. You know, it's Rambo or CSI or something. I mean, it's everywhere, and it's all about
this. This is why so many military go into the police when they come out. They're looking for that adrenal fix. And that's the one of the only places that they'll get it on a daily basis. It's a drug. They're addicted to a drug. I also like really briefly to say, you mentioned Jack McClam from the organization Police and Military Against the New World Order. I find it very disappointing. I've made some very passionate pleas to Mr. McClam, and if he's listening, you can contact me at any time, to work with some of the people in his organization to help explain these dynamics to them, both from a neuroscience perspective and from an occult perspective that I have extensive experience with. And he has not even returned any of my attempts to contact him. I've made very formal introductory attempts to contact him and his organization, and all of my attempts to say that I'm willing to be of service in this regard have fallen on deaf ears thus far.
Oh, we're gonna contact him because he's been a guest on our show, Mark, and he really is just, in my opinion, a down to earth good guy who is exactly what he states he's trying to accomplish, trying to wake people up in the military and in the police. I'm sure he's very conscious of this, okay?
Right.
He talked about it on our show.
Okay.
And I think as far as communication with some of these people, it can be dysfunctional because they have so many people contacting them, and there's always the chance that you had a bad email or who knows, you know?
Sure.
But nonetheless, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and we'll bring you both on to talk about this, because this, like Steve said, this is absolutely fascinating. We talked about it a little bit last night with Don Cooper, Steve, about his whole thing with the police pulling him over on his bicycle, and he immediately said to them, "I do not consent to any search of my person." And the police officer immediately said to him, "You know, that sounds very suspicious." So they're trained to look at someone who stands up for their constitutional rights as being suspicious all of a sudden.
Right.
And immediately that puts you on edge, that puts them on edge, and you're right. Every single time I've ever been with a cop, I can feel the adrenaline intuitively. It just it fumigates, and it's so obvious. So that being said, we're running a little bit low on time here. I want to make sure we get to everything. Let's go to, what are we on, number five?
Seven.
Seven, wow.
Seven. Okay, this is a simple one. I just call it mindfulness. Mindfulness, okay? And ironically, what it really means is making room by emptying thoughts from the mind, okay? This has also been known as meditation or transcendental meditation, okay? And there really is no proper way to meditate. I talk about this in my presentation. There are different techniques for meditation. You meditate the way that works for you. Essentially, all you're really doing is turning down the volume, turning down the chatter, the internal dialogue, okay, that the left brain is always engaging with. Okay, we're in this internal dialogue almost on a constant basis throughout the day. And we need to, from time to time, turn that volume down. It doesn't have to be for a very long period of time to at least create some balance and some room and some space, okay? So this is quiet time. This is settling the thoughts instead of just letting the thoughts run random and constantly have a noise and a chatter going on in the mind. For some people, that can be difficult to do, but when you do it, The benefits are incredible, not only from a mental perspective, but from a physical perspective as well. Now, I don't meditate on in any kind of extremity. 5-10 minutes a day, if that's it. Some people may require a little bit more because they may be even more left-brained, but this helps to bring the mind to the center, and that's what the word is saying, okay? Media, in the middle, medium from Latin. Okay, it means center. Meditation is to bring oneself to one center. And by doing that, you're actually creating mindfulness and you're creating awareness. You're getting rid of the noise, so to speak, the chatter. You're trying to take the noise away from the mind. Okay. Now, if you look at the word that means removing the noise from the mind, it's the word atonement. A in Latin means to take away or to remove or to go away from, right? Tonare means to make noise, and mente means the mind. So to meditate is the same as getting in touch with the dynamic of atonement, okay? You're attuning yourself and you're atoning yourself because you're going away from the noise of the mind, from the chatter in the mind. And this could be underestimated. It's actually very powerful, and it's important for people that carry a lot of mental stress to do if they're really going to be able to think clearly and see solutions in their own lives and in the wider sense. So that's what I call mindfulness. And anybody can do it. It just takes a little bit of patience and a little bit of willpower, and it will do wonders once you start the practice. It is a practice. So you have to, you know, persistent at it and become good at it, not to a point where you get frustrated. It has to become fluid and effortless. But it's really powerful once you get in touch with that power of the mind. So that's mindfulness. That's part seven. Part eight, and this is one, Bob, that I think you expressed a lot of interest in talking about a bit. This is the use of entheogenic compounds in conscious contexts.
All right, now what the heck does that mean? Are you speaking French here or what?
Okay, a lot of words there, but entheogens are essentially psychedelic compounds, okay? So they've been called psychedelics. The word entheogen means something that is capable of generating the divine within oneself. It comes from three Greek words. En is a prefix in Greek that means within. Theos means divine or God. And genere means to create or to express, like Genesis, okay? So to create the divine within, this is the actual meaning of what a true sacrament does. A sacrament, again, is based on the root words sacrum, which means holy or sacred or divine, and mente, which means mind. So a sacrament is something that makes the mind holy, that helps to make the mind whole again or bring it back to balance, out of one state of imbalance and toward a state of balance. So we're in a state of largely left brain imbalance in our culture, and these sacraments or entheogens or psychedelics can help us to balance the brain and the mind if they're used in the proper context. And that's
I was going to ask, what is the proper context that a rave amongst your friends partying at the Pink Floyd concert? Where should we?
I would almost definitively say that is not the proper context.
Okay.
These things are not toys. They're not things to play around with. They're powerful agents and helpers to help us change in consciousness. They should be respected as a form of consciousness. I don't even look at them as compounds or as things that you take. I look at them as things that you commune with. That's a sacrament. One of the sacraments in Christianity is communion. Communion means coming together. It means thinking together. Okay, that's what communion really means when you break the word down. Again, breaking words down and going to their root meanings is a big part of what I do, because the world is really made of words. You know, we are a form of language. You know, our DNA is a language. Okay, we understand the words we use from a deeper perspective on a daily basis. We're really in a position to really understand what's going on around us. We don't understand the words that are being used. We're being controlled by them. That's what hypnosis, neuro-linguistic programming, and mind control is really all about. These helper agents, okay, these helper consciousnesses that we commune with for brief times, that's the way to look at it, okay? That's the proper context to use them. Not look at them as something that are a form of escape or a form of pleasure, but an active agent for true consciousness change. And if we go into the experience with that in mind, we'll come out on the other end with a much deeper perspective, and we'll be like a student in the experience. And then when we come back, we have more knowledge that we can share with the community. And believe me, some of these compounds are certainly capable of conveying that level of understanding if we respect them. And one of the aspects I really touch upon in my presentation with this is, imagine these compounds are all illegal. Every one of them, no matter what. Psychedelics is a class of compounds that have stated that experience is off limits for your...
There's one exception.
What's that?
The recent Supreme Court case that allowed ayahuasca to be drunk for religious purposes.
By the UDV, right. The United Vegetal Church and others like them, right?
Right. So that's just something for people to look into. Now, you're right, though. For the most part, they've been made illegal, while, on the other hand, things like alcohol are so prevalent.
Exactly. Because alcohol tends to put someone in more of a separation and ego-based consciousness, whereas these compounds act as barrier-dissolving agencies. You know, they break down walls between people. They get you to see bigger pictures and bigger perspectives if they're used properly. And that's why they're so demonized. Controllers don't want that, you know? They want people to accept the status
quo. I think Terrence McKenna said it best. I heard him once speak about marijuana as being sort of this, more than for any reason, drug that's illegal because of its political connotation.
That's right. What it can do with the wider community, the sense of community.
Everybody I know who uses cannabis, either as a sacrament, as you put it, whether it be the Rastafarians or the hippies down the road, are all open-minded people that seem to be gravitating towards the thinking of things that we talk about on my radio show and other things. I mean, it's just a common factor. It's like, I'm going to go on the risk of sounding a bit controversial here, folks, but I'm willing to say that the majority of the great thinkers in the alternative media and the truth movement, if you want to call it that, are stoners or have used psychedelics in some capacity, quite frank.
I would certainly agree. And you brought up Terrence McKenna. He's one of my biggest influences and mentors, the late, great Terrence McKenna. Too bad he's no longer with us. I would really have liked to heard some of his perspectives on what's taking place now. But he made this statement. I'm going to read a quote by him. He said, if the words life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness don't include the right to experiment with your own consciousness, then the Declaration of Independence wasn't worth the hemp it was written on. Who owns your consciousness? The question of drugs, any drugs being illegal, is a moot point as far as I'm concerned. You don't own my mind. I do. I'll do what I want with my own mind. I'll smoke what I want. I'll drink what I want. I'll snort what I want. I'll bang what I want. If I want to drink a bottle of rat poison, I'll do that too. You're not the owner of my mind and body. I own my mind and body. So it's just utter hubris for anybody to even think that they're, you know, allowed to make the laws that they're making governing what we can and cannot put into our body as adults. It's an outrage. Anybody that doesn't see it that way is essentially under a form of mind control, because you're saying, oh, I'm willing to give up my, you know, what I can put into my own body and experimentation with my own consciousness to someone else's will.
Yep, and that's a great point. And if you allow yourself to be poisoned by aspartame and fluoride, you know, who's to say that you wouldn't want to put some more dangerous things like banging or coke or whatever in your body? And in a world where people are poisoned with that stuff anyways, and they criminalize drugs, making it even more appealing for people to go down that slippery slope of dangerous, you know, it's a big fake. We see right through it. Bottom line is, it's one big scam. It's part of the mind control. You know, you put it very frankly, and I couldn't agree more. You know, how dare you say what I can do to my own consciousness? And that you brought up the idea of euthanasia. I think if one chooses to take his or her own life, if they're in a place of great suffering, they should be able to do so.
And someone saying that you're not allowed to do that is saying, I own you, essentially. You come right down to it. That's what it's claiming, ownership over another human being. But in no way am I advocating any kind of rampant use of any kind of drugs. I think.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, a lot of compounds could severely damage the body and mind and brain.
I mean, why would you sit here on one hand and talk about eating healthy and advocate
sure.
use? But right. you advocate the use of critical thinking. And if people are,
right.
are free thinkers and if they are in control of their own thoughts, they're more likely not to use these things, folks.
Sure. That's right, because you have the information there about what it will do. I don't take any substances that I haven't thoroughly researched and made a decision that I want them there. I want them in my body, you know? So it's all about information, and it's all about being conscious of what you're putting into yourself. And I don't think anybody has the right to say that an experience is off limits, that a state of consciousness is off limits. And or what you can and cannot put into your own body as an adult human being.
All right, let's move on to number 9.
Okay, 9 is the power of positive thinking. And again, this is one I think we all struggle with, including myself. But we have to try to look at it as an unfolding or a flowering process, what's going on. And we have to also strive to look at, you know, the glass half full, so to speak, as opposed to half empty. And again, I struggle with that as well. I know many do, but I put it in there because, you know, we have to stay focused on the goal, keep the eyes on the prize, so to speak. Understand that transformation is possible, and if we keep going forward and speaking the truth into existence, it can come about. We have to keep our mind open to all the possibilities and to the understanding that we're also dealing with a dynamic in other people that is akin to an illness. So we can't fall into the hate trap and hating other people who don't get this and hating the people who are in their ignorance helping to support this immoral beast system that's being created around us and that's usurping all of our freedoms and sovereignty. We really need to understand that they are in a state of imbalance, and it's largely a state of spiritual imbalance. So we need to keep those perspectives in mind. That's actually a positive way to look at it instead of, oh, you don't get it, and I hate you because you don't get it. And look, again, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I never experienced feelings like that. I have to constantly be on guard against that way of thinking. And that's why I put this part in the presentation, because once you do understand this, your dynamic in the way you think can start to shift when you look at how other people still act and behave who have not gone through this transformational change. So we really have to strive to stay in a positive mental modality when it comes to not only ourselves and the human species as a whole about where we're at, but in our relationships and interactions with other people who may not be as conscious as we are. And that's hard to do.
Right on. We got one more, and then we can reflect on everything here, Mark. What was the last one?
This is the last one, and this is just once you come to a certain level of consciousness, if you are being silent about it, it's probably one of the worst places that you can ever be. And you know, people in my life have really helped me to get past this one because I kind of held my tongue probably longer than I should have. I went through the process of learning more and more and more and was really not getting this information out to many other people because I may have been in some kind of a slight fear mode about what they might have thought or how I would be perceived initially. That quickly went away and, I would certainly say that my partner Barb has certainly helped with that in a lot of ways and taught me about this dynamic to share what I understand with others. And it happened at a meeting that I went to, a lecture in the state of Virginia that Barb and I attended. And a woman there was speaking with me afterward, and basically she said, you have such a wide body of knowledge that you've obviously studied for many years. What are you doing with all of this? And I said, I'm not really doing too much except really learning more. And she said, what even makes you think you're allowed to do that with what you know? And it really made me think, you know, what am I doing with this? Am I just sitting back on this and not doing anything with it? And it was the case, and that's what really kind of drove me to say, no, this isn't right. I need to do something with this understanding that I have. I may have been gifted with being able to understand something that many others do not, but that it doesn't end there. You know, that you have to speak the universe into existence, okay? The reason that the elitists and the occultists, the dark occultists, and the people who are really the manipulators of the world are so successful is they never stop speaking their worldview. Their information is constantly besieging, and it's a deluge of their words and actions. They're very focused in that respect. They understand the principle that the universe is spoken into existence. Okay, so the last solution is once you understand what's taking place, you have a responsibility to teach other people. You have a responsibility to speak this information into the world. So that's basically it. You can't sit back and just say, oh, I know it, and that's good enough. It's not good enough.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you should ever stop learning.
That's right. That's also correct.
You know,
take it in as you give it out. And that's how this woman who kind of spurred me a little bit to start really getting this out there to other people, and that's what led to the creation of my presentation. She said, you're like a valve, you know. Water is coming in, but if you don't let it out, pressure builds up. And, you know, people can become unbalanced and unhinged by just learning more and more and more and more about the prison, not getting any solutions and not teaching other people about the nature of the problem and the solutions. This is about propagating information and knowledge to other people. And that's how we raise other people. That's how we raise consciousness. And that's how we basically become truly moral people and change our worldview and transform and become interconnected. And that's the way through this problem. So teaching others, that's a huge part of it. Once you get to a certain level of awareness and consciousness, you have a responsibility to speak this into existence.
And that's why we do this show Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock to midnight, East Coast time. And Mark, you're going to start your show, I think, next week probably. What
on earth is happening?
Has happened. You know, I should have put this in big letters in front of me so I didn't mess it up every time I tried to refer to it. But that's going to be the name of your show, I guess, right?
What on earth is happening, yes.
Okay. What on earth is happening. And we thank you so much for spending the full 2 hours. I feel like, although it seems like we covered a lot in the two-hour show we have, we could have done a lot longer of a show and probably will do many more in the future.
Like I said, these are topics unto themselves. Whole presentations and whole seminars could be given on any one of these. But Bob and Steve, I just want to thank you so much. It was a pleasure being on, and keep doing what you're doing. I really appreciate what you guys do, and onward and upward.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We really appreciate what you're doing, buddy. And, you know, back to the last point that you made, I've often felt that way, you know, and that's kind of why Steve and I do this show. It's so that we can continue to learn and at the same time share that learning process with others.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we got to do.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much. We'll see you on Sunday for, American Freedom Radio?
Yes.
American Freedom Radio on Indy in Asia's program at 7 o'clock East Coast time, 7 o'clock p.m., that is, East Coast time, and we'll be doing a full hour there. So I'm looking forward to that, Mark, and you have a good weekend, and I'll see you on Sunday.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Take care.
Right, folks, this is Truth Be Told Radio, another edition. Of course, our website is theylie.com. That's daylie.com, and righttoredress.com. Of course, broadcasting live on revolutionbroadcasting.com. Great folks there. We got so many new shows coming on board. The Dr. Prepper Show, of course, and James Thomas Stevens has been a guest on our show, and great guest, huh, Steve?
Right, yeah, he's very good. We have a vast array of people, and we're always glad to talk about things and intersect where we can. You know, it's about coming to this understanding a little bit better on what's happening, and it's good to have so many people who are awake. And, you know, we may not all agree on our complete worldview, but I think we're all realizing that if we don't move and do some things, then, you know, we're all going to go down together too. So we want to work together with as many people as we can right now.
All right, folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you next time on Truth Told Radio.
Thank you.